Purse here, and I am just recording a fun Friday audio because why not? And basically, I'm going to explain how these fun Fridays work because this is the first one that I will be doing ever. And there's a lot of reasons why I choose to do audio and I choose to do podcasts, and I've explained it in previous audio postings and whatnot, but it's mainly because of accessibility, because this app is great. Ease of editing, especially when I go back to school, I won't have a lot of time. And I do have a joint social media account with a friend that takes a lot of time and a lot of planning. And I like that this is so simple and so easy to use because it's easy to stay consistent with, along with everything else that I do. And I can still put out quality content without feeling like it's a burden. I get excited to film things. I want to film everything all at once and have it done. And I wish I could upload it all at once, all ready for you guys to go, but that's not how you grow anything. So, what's gonna make Fun Fridays different from my regular two mental health postings on Mondays and Wednesdays is, well, one small thing that will be changed if Anchor adds more features to their mobile app and just more features to their platform in general, because remember, they're still a couple years young. And it won't have proper segment topics. And what I mean by that is that each segment can only be 5 minutes long at the moment. And then you need to keep everything in 5 minute segments. And you add these segments together to make a full episode. And they say that if you're doing a long podcast and you just kind of put 5 minutes, 5 minutes, 5 minutes, a regular listener won't hear the breaks. I haven't listened to any of my podcasts all the way through. I don't really want to, which is partly why I don't understand how it works mostly. So what I do is I put a 10-second break between every segment every time 5 minutes comes up. That way that I know that each segment stops and starts at a good interval, and each segment has a topic so that everything makes sense if you're listening to it on the app and off the app. Because on the app, each segment goes into your station, and then anyone on the app can just listen to like a 5 minute tidbit of what you have to offer. And I want everything to make sense that way. But you can only edit things like this from longer audio recordings and then queue those segments off of the web app, which is just typing in www.anchor.fm on Google. And basically, you just take anything that you record from an external source. For me, it's QuickTime on my app, and you upload it, and then you make the 5 minute segment. Or you can upload straight from your phone, and your phone will actually put a timer, and then you can just keep adding segments, and then when you're done, they all post, and then you can make an episode after. But what I don't like about that is that there's no queue option off the phone. So if you record off the phone, I would prefer to record off the phone because the clipper online is actually much more difficult to use. It slows down my computer. 8 out of the 9 times I open it doesn't work, and then it starts to work. I would prefer to just queue off my phone. So the moment they allow us to queue off our phone, this will be different and it will be much more structured like my regular shows. But until that happens, what I'm going to do is I'm just going to record everything straight through for Fun Fridays. And if you listen to it as a podcast, it should sound no different than anything else I've put out because the editing behind the hood is different, but the product should be the same because it's just a continuous audio. If you're listening to it off of the app, however, and you're listening to a segment, you might cut in to a random segment halfway through and not understand the context because I'm not introducing it as a segment with a specific topic. Anyway, so it's just going to be one long continuous audio file, regardless of whether you're on Anchor, on a segment, or an episode. And this should be the only first segment that has a topic because I'm reaching 5 minutes anyway. So I'm going to wait for the timer to run out. Alrighty, so I don't know. I might cut that first part out and make it into its own podcast episode. And if I do that, then welcome to Fun Fridays with Purse, personally borderline. I've called myself personally borderline before. I've called myself by my first name speaking in third person before, but I don't want to complicate things. So, for all intents and purposes, when I'm doing anything that has to do with my mental health, brand, and podcast and Twitter, and when it comes to tags, because I want to do Q&As at some point, I want to do, outreach things. I'm going to be Purse, PERS, short for personally, shorter, or personally is short for borderline, Purse is shorter for personally borderline, because on Twitter I didn't have enough characters, I had to call myself Purse Borderline, at Purse Borderline. Anyway, so Purse here, and today I just want to take an Enneagram test. And my first couple Fun Fridays, soon they're going to be off mental health. I'm going to talk about my favorite video games, my favorite books, where I like to walk, just random fun things. But because this is a mental health centered podcast, and I feel like most, if not all, of our listenership is mental health people who are invested in the mental health content, the first couple are going to be fun things that have to do with mental health and have to do with BPD and depression and anxiety. So right now I'm going to take the RHETI, I think the READY, to discover my type. Oh, by taking the Rizo-Hudson Enneagram Type Indicator. And this is again why I can't stare at my timer and calculate how much time I have and do Fun Fridays, because a lot of Fun Fridays will have me looking things up, will have me taking things, physical things from around my house for reference. And unless they change the way the app is, where I can record things and draft them, or I can record them and queue them for later, I can't be doing the math in my head and focusing on something else to make the Fun Friday make sense and record audio. Just doesn't work. So if you have a if you do have a Anchor account and you would prefer for my Fun Fridays to be just as structured segmentally as my regular mental health posts, go to the support.anchor.com where they take ideas and discuss about them and implement certain things and say, hey, I want the option to queue off of the app. And the more people who say it, maybe they'll put it in. Anyway, so how long has that been? A good 7 minutes before we actually get to things. Alrighty. I cannot take the test code unless I pay for it. And I mean, I'm all for supporting people, but I don't want to pay for it. So, excuse me while I look for a bootleg test, and see what comes up. Let's see. This test is only a sample indicator. We should you read over the descriptions after taking the test to see if the type fits you. This test is only for personal use. Offers books on personality types. There are 38 questions in the sample test. Answer that applies to you. All right, so I found a sample test. I guess it's not as fleshed out as the test on the website, or maybe it's the exact same thing. I don't know, but we're gonna go through with it, and we're gonna see. The test typically takes 5 to 10 minutes to complete. This is what I want, because we don't want to make this too long. Alrighty. Okay, so there is a full test, and it costs $12, and I don't want to pay that $12. So maybe we'll do a couple tests. So anyway. I have been romantic and imaginative. I've been pragmatic and down to earth. And I don't know if I can answer this question because I've been both. When I make decisions, I am generally pragmatic and down to earth, and I assess situations fully before I make a decision. But then in my head, especially if it has to do with friends and, personal relationships and significant others, even though I've only had one, in my head, reviewing the decision, I always have kind of like a rose-colored lens over it, you know? I make a decision and it's very thought out and it's very calculated, and then I think back on it and I think about how this person's gonna drop everything for me and I'm gonna become the biggest thing in their life, and you know, it's basically my life's gonna be like a movie. A lot of situations that are tense and have conflict, I think my life's gonna be like a movie where I'm starring and I'm the protagonist and that everything's gonna go my way. So I think I make smart decisions, but because my intention is to, at the end of the day, have a romantic side, like my decisions, like what's the smartest way to end up in this sort of situation with someone else so that they can react the way that I want them to, and most of the time they don't react the way I want them to, and then I get very angry. I have tended to take on confrontations or avoid confrontations, and again, I do both. You know, there was a situation once that I had with a couple of friends where I was the head of kind of trying to distance my friends from a certain person, and I was one of the few people who, or one of the two people who were really, really vocal about their opinions on the situation and on the person and everything. And then that is done, and now I do everything to avoid anyone who took part in that, because I know I can't change the outcome, and I don't want to be around in that environment. But generally I find that it's me taking on confrontation and being the main voice and leading whatever it is for the conflict that then makes me avoid it, because I was leading it and I was the name on the conflict. So now I want to avoid anyone involved, because if there was anyone to blame, it would be me. I've typically been diplomatic, charming, and ambitious, or direct, formal, and idealistic. I'm generally diplomatic, charming, and ambitious. Actually, no, I'm direct, formal, and idealistic. I lied. A lot of people say they're intimidated by me. A lot of people say I'm uncompromising. I say what I mean, I mean what I say. I've tended to be focused and intense, or spontaneous and fun-loving. I'm very focused and intense. I've been a hospital person and have enjoyed welcoming new friends into my life, or a private person and have not mixed much with others. I am a very hospitable person. I welcome new friends into my life in the sense that you can put me in any situation, I'll find a friend. I'm very sociable. I'm very impressionable. I'm very open. However, there are very few people that like I'm going to invite back to my house and hang out with in my free time, just because I get along with people and people tend to like me, but I don't like very many people. So I'm friendly and I'm hospitable, but when it comes down to it, I'm probably not going to spend much time with you. Generally, it's been easy to get a rise out of me, difficult to get a rise out of me. And if you mean, I'm very passionate about a couple of subjects, and I will go off on tangents, and I will debate, and I will rant. And if that's what you mean about get a rise, then yes. Say capitalism, communism, politics, healthcare, education, I will rant for days. No, it's very easy to get a rise out of me after that little monologue. I've been more of a street smart survivor, or a high-minded idealist. And I can see what they mean by street smart survivor, like you use your resources to get what you want, but I don't really know what they mean by high-minded idealist, if that means like you're waiting for the best outcome, so you're not necessarily, you're waiting for the best tools to work with the situation that you have and not necessarily the tools that you're given because you want the best outcome. If that makes sense, you know, instead of just picking up whatever resources you have around and trying to make the best resolution, you're waiting for the best tools to make the best resolution. Anyway, I'm going to say street smart survivor. I might identify more of high-minded idealist, but I don't really understand it, and I kind of understand street smart survivor. I have needed to show affection to people prefer to maintain a certain distance with people. And this is where it's hard to fill out the Enneagram test for me in general, because I do have borderline personality disorder, and I am very black and white, and I am very yes or no. And I've always needed to show affection to people because I feel like no one, not that no one has, but no one wants to show affection to me. No one wants me around. No one likes me. You know what I mean? So I become very needy. I say sorry a lot because I feel like, you know, showing that affection will keep people around. But it hasn't, and it has pushed people away because I've been overbearing, and I've learned that from trial and error even before I was diagnosed. I just knew I did certain things and it didn't come off well with people. So even though I need to show that affection and I need to be like, I'm here for you, friend. I'm here for you, friend. You know, I'm here for you. Please be there for me. I know people don't take it as this girl has had life experiences that make her needy because she doesn't want you to leave. They take it as this girl's so needy and annoying. So because of that, I always need to make the active choice to distance myself from people so that I don't become obsessed with the situation and obsessed with the person. And I say manic, but, you know, just very over the top. But the problem is, once I make that decision to distance, it's not moderate. I become very cold. It seems like I'm not very interested in your life. It being friends with you now isn't something that I enjoy doing. It becomes a chore because I need to distance myself from you and the good things you bring into my life so that I don't obsess over it and crave it and need it and then become attached and obsessive if you leave. So I just think of you as any regular stranger, and a lot of my friends, I treat like strangers. You know, they're my friends, but they're not that fundamentally important to me. They're logically important to me because I know they're my friends and we've had a bond at once and we have things in common, but they're not fundamentally important to me. So I'll need to create, you know, my friends will tell me things like, oh, I felt sick this day, or oh, I have a job interview this day, and I literally need to put reminders in my phones with dates and times that says, remind this person that they're needed, ask this person about their grandparent, you know, text them about this. And it's very nice to have texting and IMing now because I can postpone, I can queue my responses. Whereas if I was talking to someone, and I did this when I was in my relationship, where I'd literally, because we spent so much time together, I would literally jot down talking points in my notes and then sneak a look at my phone to try and remind myself of things that I wanted to say so that it seemed like I was interested. And I was, but I didn't want to be attached. I didn't want to be obsessive. So I literally need to put reminders in my phone, like, ask how this interview, this job interview went, ask how your concert went. Because if I don't, I will lose friends just because I don't keep up with them. I don't talk to them. When presented with a new experience, so I'm clicking on prefer to maintain a certain distance with people. When presented with a new experience, I usually ask myself if it would be useful to me or enjoyable. And I would say useful to me because I feel like enjoyable fits within that. Something isn't useful to me if at the base of it, I'm at least not enjoying it. However, there are a lot of people who won't do things even if they're beneficial to themselves because they won't enjoy it. And there's a lot of people who will choose things that will get them ahead in life, no matter what it is, get them ahead in whatever walk of life, even if it choose it over something that they would prefer to do. So they'd choose, you know, a seminar over a concert of their favorite band. Not once in a while, because sometimes you need to make hard choices, but 100% of the time, because they're looking for growth in whatever field or whatever, they're looking for opportunity over enjoyment. And those people end up 40 and they hate their jobs. And then there are some people who 100% of the time would choose the concert or the night out over going to class or going to a job interview because they'd rather have fun in the now. And those people end up 40 without a job and they hate their lives. And most people fit into a happy medium. And I recognize that I do a lot of things that are useful to me, even if I don't enjoy them, because it's a symptom of BPD, but I can recognize that I may not be, because I'm too self-aware and I self-sabotage because I'm so self-aware, but I do try to manipulate people a lot. And I will realize it in the moment, or I'll realize it after, but I won't realize it while I'm doing it. And even if I realize it during the moment, I won't know how to stop. But the things I say, the things I do, the things I suggest is 8 times out of 10, 80% of the time, I will suggest things and say things and do things because I want to get something out of it, and I'm trying to manipulate a situation to go my way. So I'm going to choose useful to me. I think I need to stop this over-explaining because we are already 20 minutes in. Actually, no, we're 20 minutes in, but it took me 7 minutes to explain how we're doing Fun Fridays. So, you know, I think we're good on time. I've tended to focus too much on myself. And I focus on others, but when I focus on others and I become obsessive or become attached to people, it's because of what they can bring to me. I'm very uncompromising. I'm very selfish, which is both a part of BPD with the manipulation, but also I'm just a personality trait of mine. Even without mental illness, I would be selfish because my family is very selfish and I've grown up in an environment where people are very selfish, and I reenact those behaviors that I've been taught. Others have depended on my insight and knowledge or strength and decisiveness, and they have depended on both when it comes to like group projects and group activities. I tend to be the leader, and a leader, I think, possesses all of these qualities. But more than not, people come to me for my insight and my knowledge, and they come to me for advice, and they say, you know, you should do this for a living. You should give advice for a living. I shouldn't, because if there's any situation where someone comes to me for advice and a certain decision that they make will benefit me, I will curb my responses to them so that the outcome that will benefit me more will happen. Or I will try and convince them to choose that option, even if it's not the best for them. I'll give them the best fleshed out pros and cons for either side, but if they ask me to help them choose, I will choose the option that works for me best. I have come across as being too sure of myself, way too sure of myself. I'm unsure of myself inside. I'm very insecure. I learned that especially after my relationship, but I do know that people perceive me to be very stable and very sure of myself and very, you know, this is happening. I know what I want, and I know what I want from you. I've been more relationship-oriented than goal-oriented. I've been more goal-oriented than relationship-oriented, and that's because relationships fall apart around me all the time. And because of that, I've kind of thrown out the window the idea of having a successful relationship. I have friends. I've had friends for years, and I have newer friends, and it's fine. But a more successful, kind of more intense relationship where we really rely on each other and we need each other. There have been two times that I really remember putting more emphasis on my relationships than other goals, and both times I've come out on the losing end. Once when I was having a quarrel with my friends and I thought they'd choose my side and go with me, and they didn't, and when I got into that relationship, which I didn't even want to get into in the first place because I knew how I am, and I knew it would go terribly, and I didn't want to put myself through that, and I put myself through it anyway, and it went terribly. And those two situations have just taught me, you know, focus on what you're good at, and what I'm good at is school and work and networking and being professional and getting my job done, and what I'm not good at is people, just people. I have not been able to speak up for myself very well, been outspoken. I've said what others wish they had the nerve to say. I'm very outspoken. It's been difficult for me to stop considering alternatives and do something definite, take it easy, and be more flexible. I would say take it easy and, okay, both, but it depends on where I am. When I'm feeling very numb and just depressed and I'm at a low, it's very easy for me to be stubborn because I don't care about much. And when I have my head set on something, I don't really care about how compromising or not compromising affects your life, because I don't care. I just care about how it affects my life. And even sometimes I don't care about that. But then if I do care about something, especially a person, I can never make a decision because things in my life have gone so wrong that I'm afraid that no matter what decision I make, I'm just putting another stone on the path towards us having a big blowout and burning all the bridges and not being friends anymore, not communicating anymore. So, and like recently, you know, I have this trip coming up and I don't know if I'm going to go or if I'm not going to go because there's so many options for me to do. But I think it's more so take it easy and be more flexible, because not being definite and not making choices, those feelings, like being indecisive, only comes up for me when I care about something or in very specific situations, whereas I'm usually always very stubborn and I get very, very angry when things do not go my way and I have to be flexible. I have tended to be hesitant and procrastinating, bold and domineering. I'm very bold, I'm very domineering, I'm very forward. That's why a lot of people say they're intimidated by me. My reluctance to get too involved has gotten me into trouble with people. My eagerness to have people depend on me has gotten me in trouble with them, because sometimes I speak too much and people also trust me, which is great until I have a conflict where two opposing sides trust me and then I reveal too much to one side, or because I want people to confide in me, or I put my foot in my mouth because I want people to trust me, but I come on too strong or I say too much and it has the reverse effect, and then they're wary of me and they're wondering, why are you saying this? Why are you so invested? And most of the time it's because I'm trying to manipulate you into thinking that you need me, or manipulate you into needing me, or manipulate you into doing something that will benefit me. Usually I've been able to put my feelings aside to get the job done. I've needed to work through my feelings before I could act. And for the most part, I can put my feelings aside to get the job done. Generally, I've been methodical and cautious, adventurous, and taking risks. I'm so methodical. I plan everything out. I've tended to be a supportive, giving person who enjoys the company of others, a serious, reserved person who likes discussing issues. And I'm a very serious, reserved person, and I like discussing issues. Although if you come to me with your problem, I like hearing your problems because it makes me feel good. It makes me feel like I'm needed. It makes me feel like my opinion's heard. However, 9.5 out of 10 times, I would still rather discuss issues and topics that I have an opinion on rather than your life, especially if your life issue doesn't pertain to me, because then I'm not getting anything out of that advice conversation. Whereas if we're talking about a topic or an issue, I have the opportunity to show you up and argue with you and win, quote unquote, whatever we're talking about. I've often felt the need to perform perfectly or be a pillar of strength. Perform perfectly, definitely. A pillar of strength, not really. I think the way I come off, again, I don't feel the need to be like it. I just am like it. And then I get surprised when people say, you know, they're scared of me or whatnot. But I do feel the need to perform perfectly in certain aspects and achieve in certain aspects because I fall so short in so many other areas of life. I've typically been interested in asking tough questions and maintaining my independence, maintaining my stability and peace of mind. I am more so asking tough questions and maintaining my independence, even if it's detrimental to my peace of mind and stability in the long run. Which I have so many examples of. The only time I've ever been afraid of asking the tough questions was before I knew my diagnosis, but when I was in the throes of my illness and it was in that relationship and I didn't want to ask anything that would upset the other party, because then I didn't want to lose them. But now I understand where that was coming from, and I've never been like that before, and I don't ever want to be like that again because I don't feel like I was true to myself. I would have done anything at that time to keep that person in my life. I have been too hard-nosed and skeptical, soft-hearted and sentimental, hard-nosed and skeptical. I've often worried that I'm missing out on something better. If I let my guard down, someone will take advantage of me. Both have happened, and both are things that people experience. But I let my guard down a lot. I'm very trusting, and I'm never afraid that someone will take advantage of me because I think I find good people. And the people, I'm fairly good at assessing who will and will not take advantage of me. And I also, honestly, I don't care. You can't take advantage of someone who doesn't care unless they share like their pin with you, and then you steal all their money, which is partially their fault. So I feel like I'm always missing out on something better. I feel like people love their lives and they're great. And then I'm here and I'm just like, I could go if I had to, and I wouldn't feel terrible about it. My habit of being standoffish has annoyed people. Telling people what to do has annoyed people. Both. I'm very delegative in group projects, and I'm also very standoffish. However, I am slightly more willing to let go of the reins around people who do as well or better than me, A, because I want them to carry me and give me a better mark, and B, because I can trust them. However, when I'm in a group with less reliable people, I will tell them what to do, and I will be very, very direct. But I think being standoffish, because I can be very stubborn, and unlike work, where it's understandable if someone wants to get things done, friendships, if you're selfish, people don't enjoy that. Usually, when troubles have gotten to me, I have been able to tune them out, treated the myself to something I've enjoyed. When troubles get to me, I tend to tune them out, which is a problem because, again, I either feel so much and I'm so obsessed with it, or I tune it out and I don't care. And if I tune it out and I don't care, sometimes things don't get resolved. Bills don't get paid, fees don't get paid because I ignore it. I act like it has no bearing on my life, even if it does. I have depended on my friends, and they have known that they can depend on me, not dependent on people. I have done things on my own. I don't depend much on my friends. I will take what I can get from them. I will depend on them to a point. Again, there were two times when I've really put my faith into people, and both times I've been burned. And most of the time, I will tell people what I need of them. I'll depend on them, but the moment they ask me, I can move on. But they know they can depend on me because I want people to need me. Because if people need me, it means they want me in their lives. But I do not depend on people. I do things for myself. I do things on my own. I'm very easy to say, you know what? You go fly a kite. I've tended to be detached and preoccupied, moody and self-absorbed. Oh, jeez. I'm detached and preoccupied. The only time I spend a lot of time in my own head. But I'm mostly detached. If anything, people say that I don't care. I don't care enough. I'm cold. I'm very dry, you know? I have liked to change the most. Again, when I was moody and self-absorbed were the two times that I just let myself go to the other. I spent a lot of time in the low depressed spectrum of my illness, and the couple of times I let myself go to the high spectrum of the illness is where my answers, for the most part, are flipped for these questions. But I live most of my life depressed, detached, numb. I have liked to challenge people and shake them up, comfort people, and come. I'd challenge people even if they're upset. I'll say, maybe you shouldn't have done this. Maybe you're part of the problem. And maybe it's because I'm actually trying to speak to myself. I've generally been an outgoing, sociable person, earnest, self-disciplined person. I'm outgoing and sociable. I've usually been shy about showing my abilities. I like to people know. Oh, I like to tell people what I know well. I can sing. I read well. I have a very good grasp of languages. I speak English, French, Spanish. I read Latin. I've been top of my class ever since elementary school. I will go on and tell you all of my accomplishments. Pursuing my personal interests has been more important to me than having comfort and security. Having comfort and security has been more important to me than pursuing my personal interests. Having comfort and security has been more important to me than pursuing my personal interests. I've quit clubs because I didn't like people in them. I haven't gone to certain events because I didn't have anyone to go with. I like to be comfortable and secure over doing one thing for fun. When I've had conflict with others, I've rarely backed down. When we're in conflict, I am very fiery and I will tell you what is up. When the conflict has died down and I burn the bridges and we can have no contact because that's what I always do. I will withdraw because I get so angry thinking about the situation that I will fire up again. And I get anxious, I get tense, but it's not because I'm afraid, it's because I'm still ready to fight. I'm still ready to continue that conflict. So I just take myself out of the situation, but it's really because I can't back down. I can't let it go. I have given in too easily, let others push me around, been too uncompromising and demanding with others. Yes, I'm very compromising. I'm very demanding. I think people bend my will and they don't, and I get upset. And then I leave them and then they move on from me and then I get upset. I've been appreciated for my unsinkable spirit and great sense of humor, my quiet strength and exceptional generosity, my unsinkable spirit, which is my stubbornness, and my great sense of humor, which is very depressing because I joke about death and my poor mental health a lot. And because I joke about it so much, I think my friends don't take it as seriously. And it's a double-edged sword because on one hand, people don't think I'm that bad and they're still right. They still feel like they can be themselves around me. They don't feel like they need to tip around eggshells and whatnot, and they don't feel the need to censor themselves to make me feel better. But on the other hand, I don't think they realize how severe my illness is. Much of my success has been due to my talent for making a favorable impression, achieved despite my lack of interest in developing interpersonal skills. Favorable impression. I am good with people until we're actually personally involved and that we're expectations that aren't, that are more symbolic. You know, there's dependability, reliability, group skills are all tangible things. If I am always late, I'm not dependable. If I don't hand things in, I'm not dependable. These are all tangible concepts that can affect whether or not someone's a good coworker if I put in all my effort or if I don't, and you need to pick up the slack. When it comes to personal relationships, all the concepts are less tangible. It's the concept of honesty versus like white lies to save someone's feelings. It's the concept of putting your happiness below others because you care about them. It's the concept of spending your free time with someone because you just want to. It's so many intangible things that are just intrinsic, that are feelings that I don't get. And my MBTI type, which we might do, I don't know. I think I might be, I want to say INFJ, but I might be lying. So we might do that later. Score test. I am a type 3, the motivator, the adaptable, success-oriented type. I mean, I think, fear of not being. Da, da, da. Oh, I'm reading. I'm sorry. I should be reading these out loud. I'm so sorry. Okay, so I got the achiever, type 3. So how to get along with me? Leave me alone when I'm doing work. Give me honest but unduly critical judgment and feedback. Help me keep my environment harmonious and peaceful. Don't burden me with negative emotions. Tell me you like being around me. Yes. Tell me you're proud of me and my accomplishments. Yes. What I like being about a three, or like about being a three, I'm optimistic, friendly, and upbeat. I provide well for my family. I'm able to recover quickly from setbacks and to charge ahead for the next challenge. Stay informed, knowing what's going on. Be competent and able to work things out effectively. Being able to motivate people. What's hard is that I have to put up with inefficiency and incompetence, the fear of not being or of not being seen as successful, comparing myself to people who do things better, struggling to hang on to my success, putting on facades in order to impress people, always being on. Threes as children work hard to receive appreciation for their accomplishments, are well liked by other children and adults, are among the most capable and responsible children in their class or school, yes, and active in school, government, and clubs, and are quietly busy working on their projects. Yes, parents. Consistent, dependable, loyal, struggling between wanting to spend time with their kids and wanting to get more work done, expect their kids to be responsible and organized. At first glance, I thought I was more the leader type. However, I think that no, the motivator describes me more. Actually, I think it's a toss up, man. It's a toss up. Because type 8 is my, so I have 7 points for type 3, 5 for type 8, and then type 1 is the reformer, which is rational and idealistic, which also makes sense for me. Oh, but this is also the sample test and not the full test. The full test is 144 questions. This is 38 questions, and I don't know my, what is it, MIBT type, like the INJF, ENP, whatever, all those letters. Anyway, this is now a 40-minute and 46-second long Fun Friday. Hopefully I can upload this, because the last time I tried to upload something this long, it was not having it at all. Thanks for listening, and here, I was going to give you my whole spiel about how to answer my asks, but I'll do that in my next Fun Friday, because I already gave you the spiel in the beginning of how I'm going to divide my Fun Fridays. So my question is, what type are you on the Enneagram test? And I just went on www.9types.com, and there's tests or whatever, and it's the sample one, and I did that, so I don't know how accurate it is. If you want to spend the $12 to do the full 144 questions, be my guest. This is free. It's a sample. I don't think I need any more than this, and I go to a therapist, so even if I did, I'm sure I could ask her to send me somewhere where I could figure out, or go to a library and find the book that this guy wrote and do the questions in the book. Anyway, I am going to head off, and hopefully this uploads when I'm ready to upload it. And y'all have a good night.